ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like you, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Spann Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 191 of the report. We back for 2018, but right now we're rocking out to some Tank, man. Missing You, so rock out with your boy. Been a while, man. It's been a month since the last time I talked to y'all, and a couple holidays done passed through, some bad weather done came through, but we done all made it, right? We all here in 2018, man, looking good and like trying to prosper, man. That's what 2018 is like gonna be here for me and for everybody around me, and hopefully everybody around you too, man. Like 2018 is a year of growth, man. That's how we gotta look at it, man. Like despite all of the bullshit that's going on, we gotta look at 2018 as a year of growth, man. Everything can get greater and we can be greater, and we gotta put in that work to be greater. And so, yeah, man, that's how I'm approaching 2018, man, when it comes to life, when it comes to podcasting, when it comes to work, all of that shit. Yo, man, it's a renewed vision, it's a renewed vigor, all of that shit going into 2018 for the Spann Report Podcast, man, for the Spann Report Network, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later, man. But of course, y'all know how we do this here at the Spann Report, man, so I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Spann Report Podcast, let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, I will play those messages here on the show and respond to you right here on the show. And if you're watching live while we're doing this show live on Crowdcast, you can call into the show live and we can chop it up while we doing our thing, right? Also, hit me up on the email at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails, of course, man. We're going to read those emails and respond to those emails here live on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. The show does have a Twitter account. It's at The Span Report on Twitter. I do a lot of retweeting and stuff with that account. I haven't really been active as far as tweeting with that. But yeah, man, The Span Report does have a Twitter account. It's at The Span Report or at The Span Report on Twitter. So go ahead and follow The Span Report if you feel so inclined. Also, let's see, Facebook. You can join the Facebook fan group, man, where, you know, it's basically for listeners, man. I announce when the show is going live, and, you know, it's a place for listeners of the show to kind of congregate and talk about what they thought about the show and also present some stuff you might want to see here on the show, man. So go ahead and join that Facebook fan group and be a part of the Span Report experience, man. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything is available there. All of the shows are available there. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments. You can do everything. Appreciate you, Dr. Dostax. I know, right? I'm gonna talk about this here in a minute. I'm gonna talk about this. But yeah, man. Go to the SpanReport.com, man. And we can, like I said, you can do pretty much everything there, man. I want to get a store on the Span Report so you guys can kind of like buy merch and stuff like that. But that's, you know, that's some stuff that we can do throughout the rest of the year, man. We got time. So we got time. And like I said, 2018 for the Span Report, I swear to you, I'm trying to make this a year of growth. Real talk, man. Real talk. So I appreciate y'all who are listening live right now in the chat room. And I appreciate you who are going to listen to this later on, man. But we're going to try to have some fun tonight, man. Real talk. We're not going to even talk about this bitch ass nigga Trump tonight, right? We're going to talk about this shirt I got on, right? But yeah, man, it has been a month since the last time we did this. And I'm going to say, man, like I said, when I did episode 190, like I was in a tough place, man. Like I was in a spot where I felt like something needed to be said, for where I was at, man. Like where my headspace was at. You know, I felt like, you know, the Span Report, as much as I love doing this and as much as I like doing this, I want to continue to do this, and I want to give you guys a great show. I want to keep you guys here and like keep it to where like you can tell people like, yo, I heard this on the Span Report, or, you know, have you checked out the Span Report? Like those kind of things. I wanted to be able to continue for those sort of things to happen. And like, I felt stagnant. I'm just going to like, just keep it 100 with y'all. Like I was feeling really stagnant in how things were playing out here at the Span Report. And I just felt like I needed to say something. And the beautiful thing about, what happened after that, man, I really do sincerely want to thank everyone who reached out after episode 180 and like kind of let me know, man, because like I said, there's a lot of like passive listeners and stuff, but there were quite a few people. Oh shit. There were quite a few people who reached out. And like, you know, some folks are like kind of worried about your boy. Like, I want to say shout out to my homie Rashani, man, over at Single Simulcast, man, who really reached out and was like, yo, man, if you need to talk, let me know. Like things like that, little things like that, man, like just reaching out and letting people know that you're thinking about them can be huge, man. And I appreciate every last one of you guys who reached out. Let me know that you listening to the show, that you were enjoying the show. As a matter of fact, let me pull up some of you guys, man, because I want to give y'all definitely deserve y'all shouts out, man. Games and Drinks on Twitter, man. He said, Mr. Span, just listen to episode 190. I haven't left any feedback in years, but I always loved your show. I've listened to you grow over the years, and it's been a hell of a ride. Keep pushing. And like I said, man, thank you so much. Like, those sorts of messages really do get through, man. Real talk. Another one was, I gotta go through a lot of stuff here, but, as a matter of fact, here's someone, he's doing too much on Twitter, said, hey, as someone considering starting a podcast, I appreciate your honesty in episode 190. Your show reminds me that I'm not crazy. I'll make an effort to reach out more. So I appreciate you for listening. I appreciate you for enjoying the show. And I also appreciate the fact that this show can do that for you, man. I really do. I'm really proud of the fact that, you know, you feel that way. Let's see. Gracian Baxter on Twitter also said, I look forward to your show, especially the Hotep segments. So you're going to get a Hotep segment tonight, man. Real talk, because we got some shit to talk about, right? So, yeah, that's going on. And let's see. Gracian Baxter also said, continue to talk your shit. I enjoy listening to your podcast. For those who think you're better than them, fuck them, because it's a pity that they haven't grown as much as you have. Now, here's the thing. Like, we have to... This is one of the things that, like, I've had a problem with, right? And I appreciate what you said. But here's the thing, and I think this is something going forward that I need to be mindful of. Like even with the growth that you guys have witnessed with me doing, you know, doing the show, like, I'm still learning, and I'm still trying to, like, grow as a human being and as a person, and, like, trying to navigate around some of the stuff. And then at the same time, you know, sometimes folks don't necessarily get it on your timetable, right? I'm not getting it on, like, I may not necessarily get everything on somebody else's timetable. Somebody may feel like, yo, this nigga, like, come on, man. Like, come on. Like, he should have got this already. You know what I'm saying? Like, even, like, people around me may feel that way about me. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we have to, and this is something that I also have to understand, that, like, yo, everybody may not necessarily get it on your timetable, but you do hope that they get it. Right. And that's what we have to kind of, you know, like, as going into 2018, moving forward, I kind of want to give people the space to move forward and, you know, not be as critical as I might have been, you know, earlier on and, like, through some of this stuff. But, like, yeah, man, it's a growing process for a lot of people, and everybody doesn't necessarily move on your timetable. And that's something that I really have to take heed to. My damn self, right? So yeah, man. I appreciate, and I didn't get through everyone on Twitter, but I really do appreciate everybody who reached out after episode 190. Was like, yo, we really do love the show. We really do like what you're doing. We really do appreciate your growth. We really do appreciate what you're saying. I appreciate that a whole hell of a lot, man. Real talk, y'all just don't know. But we gonna get right on into the show, man. Well, better yet, I'm sorry. Can't get right into the show. There's some other stuff I need to tell y'all, right? So, coming later this month, the Span Report podcast will expand to Span Report Network, all right? This is happening, and this is something that I've been wanting to happen for quite a while, right? So, there's a new sports show that is coming to the new Span Report Network, and that show is called the Beer and Chicken Podcast, right? Now, the Beer and Chicken Podcast is going to feature not only myself, but a longtime friend of mine, my boy Cliff, who is a friend of mine from college, man. We went to Tennessee State together, man. We've had a lot of great times together, man. The man was, like, at my wedding and everything when we were in New Orleans and whatnot. He was like, yo, man, just tell me where to be and I'll be there. Like, Cliff has always been, like, one of my, like, outside of my actual blood brothers, Cliff is really one of the guys I consider a brother. And he's going to be on the Span Report. I'm sorry, not the Span Report, the Beer and Chicken Podcast. He's going to be on the Beer and Chicken Podcast, also known as DJ Neff, because he DJs too. So you may get some mixes and all sorts of shit going on with the Beer and Chicken Podcast. But we're going to do a sports theme show with that. Also, another friend of mine, man, a longtime friend. We go way back to high school, back when your man Span used to go to high school in Detroit and shit, like 20 some odd years ago. So back in Cooley High, right? There was an actual Cooley High in Detroit. But yeah, man, my boy Walt. Walt is going to also be a part of the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. And one of the reasons why we call it Beer and Chicken is because we're going to be drinking some beer, and we probably going to be eating some hot wings while we doing this show, man. On top of talking a bunch of shit about sports, what's going on in the game, some of the bullshit surrounding the game, and a lot of different things, man. It's, you know, like, I'm really excited about this show, and I'm really excited to have some other voices here at the Span Report Network. Here at the Span Report Network. Let me say that again. Here at the Span Report Network. I'm excited to have some more voices, man, other than myself, man, and having other people who are excited to get on these mics and excited to kind of let their, you know, like, let their perspective be heard, man, because, yeah, man, this is, it don't always have to be me, right? So, yeah, man, I'm excited about that. And there's also, I don't want to oversell shit, but there's also another show in the works. I'm working on some stuff, and there's some stuff going on in the background. But yeah, there may be another show sometime this year popping up here at the Span Report Network, man. So this is you know, this is going to be, like I said, a year of growth for the Span Report Network, for the Span Report podcast, man, a year of growth. I'm very excited about it. I'm excited for the people around me who are going to, you know, partake in this venture and this journey with us. So, yeah, man, it's going to be a real good thing, man. And I appreciate everybody again, man. For those of you who reached out, I really do appreciate everybody who sent those messages of goodwill, those messages of, you know, like, yo, I really do fuck with the show, man. Don't leave, right? So I really do, really, really, really do appreciate that. I don't know if I can express that enough. Real talk, man. But, yeah, man, so it has been, like I said, it has been a month since the last time I talked to y'all. And, you know, like, we've had a couple holidays come through, man. We've had Christmas coming through, you know, coming fall through. We've had New Year's and whatnot fall through. I hope everybody kind of went through the New Year's holiday and didn't have the whole, you know, hangover kind of shit happening. Because I did, man. I did. Well, not really. Like, I had, like, this nagging-ass headache. Now, see, I'm not normally a champagne drinker, right? I was drinking a little champagne. I had my little champagne going on. Me and my wife, we sat up and we didn't really do a whole hell of a lot. We was at home watching fucking She's Gotta Have It on Netflix. That's what we did, man. It wasn't a whole lot popping over here. But we were watching that and I was, you know, partaking of the champagne and whatnot. And I like saying champagne. I don't know why and shit. But yeah. So we was drinking the champagne or whatever. And like I just noticed, like, the next day I got up and I just had this nagging ass headache all day. It wasn't like I was like sick or nothing, but it was just this nagging ass headache that just wouldn't go away. And it was dull and shit too. You know, one of those motherfuckers. I hate that shit. I really do. But yeah, man, I had one of those popping off, man. And you know, that was going on. But, like, for Christmas, man, like, yo, your man's kind of came up for Christmas, man. Like, you know, I got, you know, my wife kind of hooked me up with some really dope-ass artwork and shit, man. Like, yo, like, real talk, man. Like, sometimes it ain't even the amount of money that somebody spends on a gift. It's the thought that they put into that gift. And, yo, man, my wife, like, yo, like, nigga damn near wanted to tear up, man. Like, I seen this picture of me as motherfucking Black Panther, nigga. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, nigga wanted to tear up, man. She might have spent $5 on that motherfucker, but it was dope to me. I was like, yo, that bitch, like, I was like, yo, like, this is dope. Like, yeah, I got some Jordans, too, and shit, but I'm like, yo, this is fucking dope. Like, I like the J's. I really do like the J's, real talk. But that motherfucking picture is me as motherfucking Black Panther, nigga? Nigga. Like, I love my wife. I do. She came through with that one. Real talk. And then my father-in-law got me a drone and shit. Like, nigga. A drone, nigga. Like, I'm gonna be out here, like, fucking around. Like, I really do want to do some, like, cool shit with the drone. Like, do some, like, intro videos and shit with the drone. With the drone, like, kind of coming down on me, like, real slow and shit. While I'm standing out in front of my house looking cool than a motherfucker. But probably not looking lame than a motherfucker. Because I'm like, I got the dad bod and shit going on now. Like, it's crazy. But, yeah, man. Got a drone. Got some Jordans. Got some socks and shit. You know, because, you know, listen. Let me tell y'all something. When I was a kid, like, getting socks for Christmas or, like, PJs for Christmas, I couldn't appreciate them shits then. But now, nigga, when I work outside, nigga, oh, shit, nigga. Like, those socks, those thermal socks, nigga, come through in the clutch, nigga. Like, I ain't even lying to you, bruh. Like, I was wearing some today, nigga, and my boots was wet as hell, but my feet was dry. My feet was warm. Like, real talk, man. Like, it was cool, man. Like, I came through for Christmas, man. Like, yo, my family came through for your boy for Christmas, man. Real talk. What else, man? Oh yeah, man. Like the cold. Like, it was been motherfucking cold as shit here. Like, the last, like, week and a half. Like, I know some places, like in, like, New York and, like, Massachusetts, they got, like, fucking 60 inches of snow and shit. And I know we got, like, maybe like 20 something inches over the course of a couple weeks, man. And I'm weary of this shit already. Like, it's just January and I'm like, man, this shit need to go. Like, and I, you know, and most of it is because I work outside. Now, here's another thing, man. I'm gonna need y'all motherfuckers who really like the snow to kind of shut up about that shit, because most of you niggas ain't actually walking in the snow. Like, you might have to walk to the snow to get to your car or something. You might have to walk to the snow, you know, walk through the snow to get back in the house. But you go in your car and then you get back in your house. You got heat on in both areas and then you good. You like looking at the motherfucking snow. Hey, dog. I gotta work in that shit, man. It ain't fun, man. It be cold. That shit be like, you know, it like, well, sometimes, I take that back. Sometimes when you gotta dig a hole and the snow actually insulates the ground and it makes the ground soft and the frost don't set in. But with the temperatures that we had, nigga, nigga, you talking about trying to put a shovel in the ground when the temperature's reaching fucking 16 below zero? Nigga, it ain't happening. You gotta pull a jackhammer out on somebody's lawn. So yeah, man, it ain't pretty, man. It ain't a fun thing. And yo, some of y'all in the South got hit with some of that shit too, nigga. I'm just saying, like, some of y'all didn't escape this shit, nigga. Like, just it was non-discriminatory when it came to the winter, with this winter weather, man. Non-discriminatory. Now some of y'all out west might have like kind of, you know, kind of got up easy, but then I wouldn't even say y'all got off easy because y'all been dealing with fucking wildfires and shit. Like, California been going through it, man. Wildfires and shit going on. Like, California, stay on fire, man. I hope everybody over there is safe and whatnot, and the fires is down and everything, but damn, like, it's like, I don't know, man. It's like the end of the world and shit. All that stuff we heard about in the Bible and stuff is happening all in the same week and stuff, and then we just, like, going about our day and shit, like, you know, Trump ain't a thing and whatnot. Yeah, so, yeah, that's going on. Hey man, 16 below dynamite. I wish we could, man, but that would, you know, you're working with gas, man. You can't be using dynamite right next to a gas line, man. It's not a good idea. Real talk, man. But yeah, man. So yeah, like, you was asking me about this shirt, man. So right now I am wearing fuck Trump and fuck you if you voted for him shirt, right? Now, you guys remember, I think I made this lady the champ of the week. I can't remember which episode. I think I made her champ of the week because this lady, this is a woman in Texas. She had she had the decal on her truck that said, fuck Trump and fuck you for voting for him. And the sheriff down there was like actively looking for this lady so he can have her arrested for disorderly conduct or some shit like that or whatever. So, turns out, she got out and like, you know, like they put her name out there, right? So I hit the lady up and on Facebook. Like, I found her, like, I'm like, yo, I would really like a t-shirt with that on it. Like, I would pay for a t-shirt with that on it. And she, you know what? She hit me up maybe a day later and was like, here's a link to a shirt. And I'd be goddamn if I didn't get my shirt. And so here it is right now. First show of 2018. It's still fuck Trump and fuck everybody who voted for him, man. Real talk. And I appreciate that woman. Like, I should have, like, maybe tried to get her on the show or something. Maybe I could reach out later on. But, you know, I'm just appreciative of the shirt. Real talk, man. So, yeah, man. Yeah, so I did all this motherfucking talking, and we still ain't even got to, like the shit that we supposed to be here for, right? So I got a couple random thoughts that I like some random stuff that kind of came to my mind, or, you know, over the course of the last few hours or so, right? So one of the first random thoughts that I had was, what is the threshold for, like, the amount of views or shares for something to be considered going viral, right? Because, like, I saw this one video, and, like, it had maybe 500 shares or whatever. And this was, like, maybe 6 o'clock this morning. I don't know if it was shared, like, you know, yesterday or, like, the day before yesterday. But it had, like, 500 shares. And, like, oh, man, this shit's going viral. And it made me think, like, what is the threshold for something going viral? Like, is it 100,000? Is it 1,000 shares? Like, or is it, like, if you're talking about views, like, is it, how many views does something have to have before it's considered having gone viral? Because I do know this, like, going viral does, you know, like, it does have this thing. It's one of those things where, like, something that's getting shared a lot in a short amount of time or being seen a whole hell of a lot in a short amount of time. You can't be talking about some, yo, I done went viral. Like, you got a video on YouTube, right? Because, like, say, for instance, I got a video on YouTube. Video on YouTube has, like, 1.1 million views, right? But that video has been on my YouTube channel for 7 fucking years. Like, I can't be on here talking about, yo, man, this shit went viral, nigga. I got 1 million views, nigga. Like, this Rupert, yeah, nigga, viral, nigga. Like, I can't do that, right? But I do, I just wonder, what is the threshold? Like, what is the threshold for what we consider when something goes viral? You know, maybe y'all can help me with that. I don't know what the number is. I was asking on Facebook. Somebody told me like 100,000 like views. Somebody else said like 1,000 shares or something like that. Like, what is the criteria? Who came up with the criteria for what something is viral? Like, when is something viral? I don't know why I was thinking about that. I just kind of was. But yeah, like, what is that? You know, what is the criteria for like when shit goes viral, right? Oh shit. How the fuck did I forget this? The Span Report podcast birthday, right? The official birthday for the Span Report was yesterday, January 8th. And what is that? 7 years ago. So January 8th, 2011 was when the Span Report podcast put its first episode out on Podomatic.com. That is a birthday. And you know what? I didn't even know what the official birthday of the Span Report was, man. Like, I really didn't. Like, you know, I was counting October, sometime in October, as the birth date of the Span Report podcast, because that goes back to when I actually created the website for the Span Report on GoDaddy. Like, when I had my GoDaddy like hosting and stuff like that, I'm like, you know what? That's the birth date of the Span Report. But like, the actual podcast, the first episode of the podcast was uploaded on Podomatic back in January 8th, 2011. So we just celebrating the motherfucking birthday of the Span Report podcast just yesterday. We 7 years old today doing this, man. So I don't know how, like, I kind of missed that, but yeah, like, next year we're gonna be better prepared for this. Next year we're gonna be better prepared for this, because I didn't know what the exact fucking birthday or the date of creation for the Span Report and the actual going live and everything, like, for a podcast to be out and being consumed by people other than my friends, I didn't know the date. But like, Podomatic sent me an email, and I don't even use Podomatic anymore to distribute the show, but like, they sent me an email like, yo, it's been 7 years. And I'm like, word? I'll be damned. Like, I didn't even know. And I actually thought the podcast was older than 7 years. I thought we was going on our 8th year, but you know, whatever. Right? That sounds like such a pitiful daddy kind of shit. Like, I don't know how old, I don't know how old that little nigga is. He about what, 13, 14? Like, no, nigga, he's 10. Like, well, shit, he double digits. He double digits now. Shit, he damn near teenager shit. He about 13, 14 to me. That's kind of how I was treating the podcast, man. I thought we was already 7, and we weren't 7, but we're 7 now. And so, yeah, man, I don't know how the fuck I forgot to neglect and mention that, right? Another thing, man, I need this question answered. And I know, like, some of y'all might also be wondering the same shit, right? Some of y'all just might be wondering the same shit, but you know, we just had the holidays kind of come through. Christmas, well, you know, was like, you know, it was a beautiful time for a lot of families, man. A lot of people sharing and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of people giving out gifts and everything, like really thoughtful gifts. You know, I spoke about my wife giving me that really thoughtful gift of me as a Black Panther and everything else, man. And, you know, I heard, you know, that, you know, a lot of these DNA tests, man, these do-it-yourself DNA tests or whatever, Ancestry.com, 23andMe, and there's another company that does the DNA test where you spit into this little tube and it'll tell you where you're supposed to tell you where your people are descended from, or where your ancestors from, and who you, like, that kind of shit, right? I wonder how many Hoteps family members gave them niggas motherfucking Ancestry DNA kits because they were tired of them niggas talking about they was from Egypt, man. Real talk. Oh, shit. We rusty, man. It's been a month. Let me do that again. Yeah, man. Like, can y'all imagine, man? Like, yo, I'm tired of this nigga talking about some heat from Kemet, man. I'm tired of this nigga talking about the pyramids, bruh. Don't this nigga know that the motherfucking slaves was taken from Western Africa, man? He keep going all the way back to Kemet, man. Do he even know about Timbuktu, man? Do he even know about Mansa Musa, man? Like, all of these things, man. Like, they keep talking about Egypt, man. They want to go back to, you know, to Kemet, because they don't even call it Egypt no more. They're like, yo, we got to go back to Kemet. and all this other stuff, right? I wonder how many of their family members just gave them ancestry DNA tests because they were tired of them niggas talking about going back to Egypt, man, or talking about Egypt, period. Because you know what? Those ancestry DNA kits, they was some pretty hot motherfucking sellers, man. People was going like out of their way, like, yo, man, we gonna find out where the fuck we from. And I wonder if that was like a hot commodity amongst the Hotep community, man, real talk. You know, interestingly enough, man, when they talk about the Hoteps, man, and we're going to talk about some Hotep Civil War shit, like, later on. But, like, interestingly enough, man, like, the whole Hotep thing, man, like, people are, like, writing articles and stuff about, you know, not using Hotep as a derogatory term for Pan-Africanists and all this other stuff, man. And it's not the first time that I've heard this, right? You know, they were talking about, you know, Hotep is a positive term. It's a greeting and everything. And, you know, it's used amongst, you know, a lot of Pan-Africanists and a lot of people who are in constant the culture, man, who really are interested in, you know, like learning more about African culture and African heritage and how it relates to African Americans here in America. And it's a term that they use amongst each other. But interestingly enough, man, a lot of the people who are given platforms from that community are also like really motherfucking homophobic, really misogynistic, patriarchal in a lot of their rhetoric. And yo, like, they use this term amongst each other, and now it's kind of something that has latched on amongst the outer community, who's just kind of on the outside looking in, like, yo, but these are the motherfuckers that y'all have given platforms to, right? So, like, I know there's a call for people to stop using the term Hotep as a derogatory term. I will continue to use the term Hotep for the dudes who identify themselves as such and who also put out really dangerous and really harmful rhetoric when it comes to black people, man. I kind of felt like I needed to say that, real talk, man. But yeah, those are some of my random thoughts, man. But it's time to get into some of our segments. And right now, we're going to talk about some news, man. That is a really long motherfucking bumper, man. Real talk. But, yeah. So, your cable bill is about to go up, man. It's about to go up. So, this comes out of, I'm actually reading this story from clickondetroit.com, which is the NBC affiliate here in Detroit. And it says, cable and satellite TV providers are ringing in the new year with unwelcome gift, higher cable bills. Comcast, for instance, says customer bills will rise 2.2% on average in 2018. AT&T is raising DirecTV's prices by up to $8 a month in mid-January, and smaller providers are planning increases too. Over the past decade, prices for TV service have risen almost twice as fast as inflation, according to an analysis of government data. Data provider S&P Global Market Intelligence says customers' cable satellite TV bills have soared 53% since 2007 to $198 in 2017. I wish my bill was just $100, dog. Like, real talk, I wish. I ain't seen a bill south of $180 in quite a while. It says annual rate hikes are guaranteed as death and taxes, but you can push back and trim your bill. It says why cable prices rise. It says cable companies point to rising fees they pay to carry TV networks. The networks, in turn, have their own rising costs, particularly sports, as they are willing they willingly pay more to sports leagues for what they consider must-have programming. But the networks also know they can pass those costs back to cable companies and ultimately their subscribers. It's industry convention that a cable bundle needs live sports. Otherwise, cable companies risk losing subscribers to Netflix and other sports-less alternatives. The consulting firm PwC estimates that sports leagues in North America raked in $18.4 billion in 2016 from TV, radio, and tech companies that stream games, up from $11.6 billion from 2012. That's expected to keep growing as tech companies such as Amazon and Facebook become more interested in sports, meaning more competition for rights to televised games. Now, I talked about this before. I'm going to talk a little bit about this again. We're going to go back into this whole net neutrality shit, right? the more, like, with the rising of these cable costs and the rising, you know, like, the prices that they're willing to pay for, say, for instance, live sports channels and live sports events, a lot of those costs are trickling down to the consumer. Like I said, I haven't seen a cable bill south of $180 in quite a while, right? But a lot of people are turning to a lot of these streaming networks. You know, a lot of these streaming services like Sling TV and YouTube TV is now really a thing. PlayStation View, like all these alternative, you know, ways to watch TV, like Netflix and Hulu. I think even Hulu has a live TV option now, right? And you know, as much as folks like to talk about, well, fuck it, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm not going to have cable. I'm just going to have my internet, and my internet is like going to run my TV, right? I'm going to just have all my internet. I'm going to do streaming all the way through. Excuse me. But here's the deal. Like, a lot of times, man, your internet is running through a cable company. So even though, excuse me, even though you may like turn off your cable television, you're still paying cable company for access to that internet, right? And so when you're running your service through, say for instance, you take, if I wanted to do it like this, if I wanted, I could use like Comcast internet by itself, $60 a month just for the internet, right? Then I wanted to add PlayStation View and one of their better packages for about $44, right? I think it was about $44 for a plus package or something like that. And that came with maybe 60 channels. Not as many channels as I have now, but more channels that I probably would watch, right? And you're sitting at about $104, right? And then you start looking at, okay, well, I'm going to add Netflix. Netflix is another four, you know, maybe 14 bucks. And maybe I'm going to add Hulu, you know, well, you probably wouldn't add Hulu because now you got, you know, now you have, you know, the PlayStation View. But some of the channels that are available on Hulu might not necessarily be available on PlayStation View. So you may just add Hulu to your shit. So that's maybe another $13 because you know what? You're going to pay the extra money because you don't want to watch commercials, right? So you're going to add that to your little stuff, right? So that's like we at like 100 and I don't know, maybe 115 bucks already. That's three services on top. You know, that's three services with your internet, right? Then you decide, you know what, man? I'm going to add HBO to my PlayStation View. That's $15 right there. Then you decide, hey, I'm going to add Showtime to my PlayStation View or like, you know, Hulu because it's available through all of these services. That's still another $15. Before you know it, you right back at the same amount you was paying the cable company anyway. You might not be paying at the same amount to the cable company, but you're still paying some money. And the cable company is still getting some money out of you to get you to stream that shit, right? But here's the kicker. The cable company can then decide like, yo, these people are cutting the cord. They're not getting our cable TV packages. Hey, with this net neutrality being going, maybe we can start charging these motherfuckers extra money to get their speeds right, right? So you want to watch HBO Now or HBO Go, depending on which one you know you go with. And Comcast or Verizon or you know, whoever you have as your service provider, like, you know what, we're going to charge you an extra $5 in order to have the highest streaming quality for that particular service. On top of the money that you're paying them in order to have access to their shit, we're going to charge you another $3 to $4 to have access to Netflix in order for you to have the highest streaming quality. Cause Netflix is streaming in 4K now. Right? So you're going to pay a premium in order to have that going on. So I want people to understand, man, like, although you may feel like, yo, you're going to get this initial savings, and that's cool, too. Like, I'm not even knocking that. Get your initial savings, but understand that, like, yo, some of this shit, like, it's coming to, like there's a horizon coming. Like, there's a sunset on this shit. And with net neutrality being gone, man, I know we, you know, a lot of folks are waiting for maybe the courts and people are suing to keep, you know, get this reversed or whatever else. But understand, man, like, yo, these cable companies kind of got everybody by the balls when it comes to internet access and the way people are consuming media and everything else, man. So I thought that was kind of important to kind of talk about going into 2018, man, like the cost of cable going up and also the fact that net neutrality being gone, we're going to start seeing a lot of our services going up in cost. And those were on the ballot back in 2016, right? Now, another story that I thought was interesting that we could probably talk about, man, like, yo, wait, no, that is not the story that I wanted to pull up. But this is the story that I wanted to pull up. So check this out, man. there was this woman who actually got away with defrauding the Social Security Administration to the tune of $176,000. But you know what? You know what? Not only did she get away, well, not only did she defraud the Social Security Administration of $176,000, but she also she also got away with this shit without actually having gone to jail.
Well, I'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
So check this out, man. We're reading this story out of Fox2Detroit.com. It says a Detroit woman who looted the Social Security system for nearly 30 years has been sentenced to a halfway house for stealing $176,000. Linda Pessenecker's mother died in 1986, but she never informed the government. Her mother's Social Security payments were mailed or flowed into her bank account until 2013. The U.S. Attorney's Office asked for 18 months in prison Tuesday, noting that Pessenecker forged her mother's signature on a letter when investigators asked about her health. Prison sentences are uncommon in Social Security cases, even when fraud is significant. Pessenecker got a break from Judge Bernard Friedman. She'll spend 6 months in a halfway house with opportunities to leave during the day to work. She blames her decisions on financial problems and years of trying to stay drug-free. So, she was a dope fiend, and she was stealing from the government, and they gave her a break, and her last name is Pessenecker. We gonna guess the race on this one. Do we really need to even guess the race on this one? Like, yo, could you imagine, like, Shaniqua? Or, like, I don't know, Tanika? Or Shaquan? Or Tyrone? Or Reggie? Getting a motherfucking break from the government after stealing $176,000 motherfucking dollars? Ain't that grand larceny, nigga? Ain't that a felony, my nigga? Like, she got away. Is she getting halfway house, dog? Halfway house. 6 months and a halfway house, nigga. Like, halfway house. She don't even see the motherfucking inside of a jail cell, dog. Don't even see one. So, yeah, man. Like, I don't want to howl at the moon and shit, but I thought that was kind of fucked up. I thought that was kind of fucked up. And that happened. Now, another thing that kind of happened over the course of the last few weeks since we've been gone. This was a story that I thought was kind of screams white privilege. And yeah, white privilege is pretty much a part of the news lately. James Damore filed a class action lawsuit against Google, saying that it discriminates against white male conservatives. Now, hold up. Check this out, man. Before I even read this shit, I gotta say, I was under the impression that a lot of these guys who are calling themselves conservatives and are alt-right or what have you, that they have issues with people who I guess you would say peddle in identity politics, right? Like the people who kind of traffic in that. Like they have issues with that. Like they keep talking about being she's already spent the money. I'm sorry. She already spent the money, Dr. Dostak. She already spent it. But yeah, man, like these guys, they're like, you know, they have these issues with the gays having their issues being heard and the blacks having their issues being heard and the Latinos and the Latinas having their issues being heard. And we shouldn't have, you know, this PC culture, man. Oh, shit. Damn, I'm over here fucking up. But this PC culture over here, man, like it's tearing apart the country. And then this guy sues Google because he says he was fired because he was a conservative and he's white. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of TechCrunch.com. It says James Damore, a former Google engineer who was fired in August after posting a memo in an internal Google message board arguing that women may not be equally represented in tech because they are biologically less capable of engineering, has filed a class action lawsuit against the company in Santa Clara Superior Court in Northern California. Now, before that's the first fucking paragraph. Rule number one, and this is, and like I haven't been an active Freemason in quite some time. Like it's been some years, man. It's been at least a decade since I was like last active and like going to meetings and wearing my uniform and all of that stuff, right? But one of the things I remember from being a Freemason was this. Like we don't talk about politics and we don't talk about religion in the lodge, right? I think the job should also be one of those places where you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about motherfucking religion in the workplace. It really has no place there. Come there and do your motherfucking job and go home. Everybody at the job ain't your friend, and they don't even have to be. Some of these motherfuckers don't like you anyway, right? No matter what it is you do, they don't even like you. Just come in, do what you're supposed to do, take your ass home, and there you go. Collect your check, secure the bag, do that. You ain't even got to be there to make friends, man. But this motherfucker already, he out here putting out motherfucking manifestos on company time talking about women. Women may not be equally represented in tech because they are biologically less capable of engineering, right? So he says his claims is that Google unfairly discriminates against white men whose political views are unpopular with its executives. Here's the thing. I know a lot of people who get fired from jobs because their boss simply doesn't like them. Those people usually work in at-will positions, where a person who is in an at-will position can be fired for any motherfucking reason whatsoever. Like, you didn't brush your teeth this morning. I'm sorry, man. I cannot deal with your fucking stank-ass breath here at the damn workplace, man. I'm sorry, man. You got to go. This has happened more than enough times, man. Like, yo, your body odor is fucking offensive, man. You got to go. Oh, shit. You like the motherfucking Detroit Tigers, dude? Like, we White Sox fans up in here. You got to go. Like, real talk. Like, I mean, those are, like, really, really, really frivolous reasons. But, yeah, man, like, if you're at an at-will position, and I'm not sure if this guy was unionized or whatever else. A lot of these jobs really aren't. But they can get rid of you practically for damn near whatever reason they want to. Damn near, right? He says, DeMoore joined the 160-page suit by another former Google engineer named David Goodman, who spent 3 years with Google working on the query engine. According to Goodman's LinkedIn profile, he left the company in December 2016 and has been self-employed since. The lawsuit filed by Dillon Law Group says it aims to represent all employees of Google who have been discriminated against, due to their perceived conservative political views by Google, due to their male gender by Google, and due to their Caucasian race by Google. So, again, we talk about identity politics. We talk about how all of a sudden, even Bernie Sanders goes out of his way to talk about identity politics is not the way to go forward in 2018 and 2020 for the presidential nomination. Like, identity politics, we have to do away with the identity politics, and we have to, like, meet people where they are. And here we got one of these same motherfuckers that Bernie Sanders would actually court his vote. He said so. I'm guaranteeing this asshole voted for Trump. So, like, fuck him and fuck him for voting for Trump. But I'm telling you, like, these assholes who talk about being against identity politics and identity politics being against the crux of America and, like, is ruining the country from inside out, when it's used to their, when they can use it for their own purposes, they will. They will. They have no motherfucking principles whatsoever. More specifically, it accuses Google of singling out, mistreating, and systematically punishing and terminating employees who express views deviating from the majority view at Google on political subjects raised in the workplace and relevant to Google's employment policies and its business, such as diversity hiring policies, bias sensitivity, or social justice. So this dude has an issue with them actually even doing anything for identity politics. And yet he's suing them because he identifies himself as white male, conservative, and Google. And he feels like he lost his job because he was a white male, conservative, and Google, not because he wrote that fuck ass memo on company time. Right? That's really a thing. That's really what's happening here. So yeah, man, like, this happened last year. I know this story was kind of like something that was going on last year, and this is a continuation of that. So he won't be the asshat of the week this week, but I'm saying, like, this is a doozy. This one's a doozy. He could have been one. He could have been the asshat of the week, man, if there weren't somebody else who stepped forward and, like, yo, I hold my beer, nigga. I got this, right? So, yeah, man, that's going on in the news. Now, We gonna move on to one of our other segments, man.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right, all right. I love that fucking clip, man. So, Blue Blazers, man. Now, I have some trepidation about using this in Blue Blazers, man. I have some reservations about even how to even talk about this. But like, cause it's not, it's fucked up, but it's funny, but it's fucked up, but it's funny. We just gonna kind of like go through this, right? So, I'm sure you guys may have heard there was a woman in Chicago who was shot live while on Facebook, right? And like instantly, like when I saw the headline to a woman was shot while on Facebook Live, I was like, God damn, man, again, like somebody, like that's terrible. Somebody lost their life like needlessly and stuff. And then I, weirdly enough, like I didn't even click the story. I saw the headline, kind of scrolled past it, right? And then, like, you know, I'm no longer in Chicago anymore, but I'm still connected to a lot of my friends and, you know, back home and whatnot. And I started seeing people from back home kind of talking about it. It was like, yo, like, man, fuck that, man. Like, that was stupid as hell. Like, I don't even feel sorry for her. Like, wait a minute, what? Somebody got shot on Facebook and nobody feels sorry for her? So I had to check the shit out myself, right? So, matter of fact, let me see. I'm gonna pull this up, man. We gonna watch this together, y'all. We gonna watch this together. Let me go ahead and pull this up. Let me share my screen so y'all can see the shit that I'm seeing. Hold on just a second, y'all. Okay. All right, check this out. Here we go. Wait. What happened to the video? All right. And the video just kind of like decided to dip out on us and shit. Like, let me see if, okay, Tribune. Y'all want a nigga to subscribe. And I get it. I'm probably not going to subscribe now. I just need this video to load, though. Real talk. Like, come on now. Like, do this nigga the solid, man.
Fuck you talking about? Girl, what you got? Oh, this bitch got a gun, y'all.
Who gonna smack me?
You got a gun. What you gonna do?
Smack me?
What you gonna do with it? What you gonna do with it?
Who gonna smack me?
What you gonna do with it, bitch? I'm not worried about that gun, bitch. You will get blown down right here.
Fuck you talking about? Tell me to
take this shit back.
You mad?
Bitch, take
bitch.
You in this car, and bitch.
Yeah,
bitch. She just shot me.
She just shot me.
Yes.
This bitch don't even know.
She's gonna go to jail. Where she just shoot you at?
In my arm, don't
touch. Okay, now, fucked up, very, very, very fucked up situation. Now, here's the thing, man, because like I said, it was people like kind of like it's weird, man. Like, folks are like talking about it's funny. Like, I'm not gonna lie, man. Like, I am. This was difficult for me, and it shouldn't be, but it really kind of was, because the one of the first things I was thinking about was like, yo, why is she antagonizing this woman with this gun? Right? I see a gun go, I run. She saw a gun come out, she stayed. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is she antagonizing this woman with this gun? Like, most motherfuckers, when they see somebody pull out a gun, they're like, you know what, man? My bad. I'm going about my business. You know what? Fuck everything I was talking about, bro. Like, it ain't that deep, man. Real talk, man. We ain't even got to go like that, man. It's just a car, my nigga. Like, we good. I'm my bad. And keep going. Nah, she was, like, openly antagonizing this woman. Like, man, what the fuck you going to do with your gun? I ain't worried about your gun. You going to get blowed down and all this other shit. Talking big shit. The other part of this that's fucked up. Person in the car with the gun, she followed one rule of gun, like people who have guns, she followed one rule, but she also didn't follow a second rule, right? The first rule is Never pull out a gun unless you intend on using that motherfucker. Right? That's the first rule. Never pull a gun unless you intend on using it. The second rule is only use that gun if you are in fear for your life. And in that situation, she could not have been in fear for her life. She wasn't. Girl was like standing outside. She got the she got her phone out. The girl is on her phone. She's on Facebook fucking live. She's broadcasting the altercation. That girl ain't had no gun on her. So for you to go and shoot her because maybe she kicked your car door or some shit like that. Like, come on, man. Can't do that. And I understand, like, in Chicago, they've, like, kind of relaxed some of the gun laws in Chicago to where people can kind of carry concealed now and stuff like that. But, you know, it's still one of the more stricter places when it comes to firearms and whatnot. But, like, you know, the more I think about it, like, ain't shit funny about this shit at all. Like, the more I think about it, like, it's a fucked up situation. And, like, yo, low-key, like, well, not even low-key, high-key like a motherfucker. Like, old girl who had the gun, who shot her, should be going to motherfucking jail. Like, it wasn't the brightest thing in the world to be antagonizing a person who has a firearm and is, like, apparently ready to use that motherfucker on you. And, like, and it shouldn't have taken somebody to shoot you in order for you to be like, yo, I probably should stop fucking with this person. But ultimately, the person with the gun, yeah, they deserve to go to fucking jail and be locked up for attempted murder, man, real talk. And that segment went from being almost funny to serious than a motherfucker the more you think about it, right? The more you think about it. And I shouldn't even have to think about it that much. But yeah, man, like, because of the way people were talking about it back home, like, I'm like, yo, for real? Like, y'all don't, like, you know, and then I see him like, yeah. And I ain't gonna lie, man, like, my initial reaction, like, oh, shit, like, she rah-rah in the motherfucker. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. But yeah, that is crazy enough. Crazy enough, it went in motherfucking blue blazes. Real tall, man. But now we're going to go to another segment, man. And this one was a long time coming, man. This kind of happened over the break where, you know, I wasn't recording and whatnot. But y'all know goddamn well I was not about to let this shit go and not speak anything on it, man. So we're going to our, you know what it is.
In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special HOTEP unit. These are their stories.
All right, so, y'all know, over the break, there was a goddamn HOTEP Civil War that came out, right? HOTEP Civil War 2, right? Now, ironically, there's a common denominator in all these HOTEP Civil Wars, man, and they both include Umar Johnson. Both of them include Umar Johnson. Umar cannot stop taking L's in these HOTEP Wars, right? So the first HOTEP War, we talked about this. Matter of fact, it was like around the same time last year, man. It was Umar Johnson and Detroit dude, Sara Sutansetti. And they was going back and forth about, you know, against each other and everything. And Sara Sutansetti, you know, he talking about, I forget even what the fuck they was even talking about. I forget what the beef was even about, man. But they was mad at each other and shit. And then, you know, like, Umar was in the hotel with his Phillies, like, baseball. But it wasn't even the baseball cap. It was a Scully with a ball on top of it and shit. And then he had the phone call. And he's like, yo, man, I got this. I got this. And the motherfucking phone rang while he was on it and shit, man. Totally fronting, man. Totally fronting, right? So, we were blessed with that last year. So, this year, we get a beef between Umar Johnson and Tariq Nasheed. Now, interestingly enough, man, like, these dudes have worked together on numerous fucking projects and shit, right? They both kind of, like, enhanced each other. They both kind of, like, you know, there was some quid pro quo with both of these dudes, man. Like, one of them was seen getting more valid as someone in the black intelligentsia, like, African-centered space with his Hidden Colors movies with Umar Johnson. I mean, with Tariq Nasheed. And then Umar Johnson was given more cachet as someone more visible as a speaker, as a as an educator, as a psychologist, because of his appearance in those Hidden Colors films, right? Now, I've been a very big critic of those Hidden Colors films. I don't necessarily, I mean, it's a lot of the stuff is kind of revisionist. I think, you know, like even when it comes to Tariq Nasheed, like Tariq Nasheed is someone who, you know, I know we talk about growth. I know we talk about it, but you know, it's kind of hard to believe that you like are growing in your shit when you were doing Mac Lesson's radio show while at the same time promoting at least 3 movies of the Hidden Colors variety while your show was still called the Mac Lesson's radio show, right? So fast forward to what was going on over the course of last week or so, week and a half. So I'm trying to figure out, I think it was this, because I was trying to figure out what exactly started this shit to begin with. People on Twitter were actually like kind of celebrating the fact that Umar Johnson could have possibly lost his his license in the state of Pennsylvania as a psychologist. Like there was like the Umar de-licensing party or something like that popping on Twitter and whatnot. And Tariq Nasheed got on his show and he started talking about the de-licensing party. And he kind of mentioned the fact that like, you know, people were asking him in his chat room, like what was going on with like the money and stuff for that school. And Tariq was like, yo, I don't know what happened to that money with the school. And so that kind of triggered Umar to start like, yo, man, keep my motherfucking name out your mouth. Like Umar went to his gangster shit again, right? So Umar went to this gangster shit. And so what ends up happening is you get 2 niggas who have both been defrauding the black community in this black intelligentsia hotep space. You get both of their asses starting to tell on each other. Right now, mind you, their supporters are going to follow them regardless. Right. No matter what these niggas say, no matter what these niggas do, it's almost like Trump. They're going to follow these niggas regardless. Some of these motherfuckers you cannot reach and we're not even going to try to. Right. But I want you to kind of listen, because I pulled up a couple of these clips and I want you to kind of listen to both of them telling on each other. So let me see. I'm going to pull up this Tariq video first. Let me, because I got a couple of them that I wanted to write here. Let's see, what time was that? 12:24. Yeah, we're gonna pull this up because I had them in certain segments where they were both kind of like dropping hints. They knew what was up against each other, but they weren't telling everybody else. Meanwhile, they were working together. They were big up in each other. They were like featuring each other in each other's work. They were talking, you know, all sorts of shit. So here we go. Where are we at? 12. Here we go. Gonna play this here. Matter of fact, let me share this with y'all so y'all can see this also. For those of you in the chat room. So here we go. Check this out.
I don't play with niggas like you. You ain't about that fucking life, my nigga. You ain't about that life. All that tough gangster rah-rah talk. You ain't about that. You and I know that you a big fuck nigga. You and I know you try to talk all that gangster shit behind your little moist hotep beard to try to look tough, but we know you a big soft cupcake marshmallow ass nigga. We can tell that by the shit you were talking with that stripper when she got up on your ass and exposed your simping ass, you big fat simping cupcaking nigga, on a text message sounding like a 15 year old bitch nigga, this stripper running game on your dumb ass. See, that right then, I knew wasn't no school gonna be built when I saw the way that nigga was cupcaking with that stripper. I wanna smash your cookies. That nigga tweeted that broad, I wanna smash your cookies. Just real corny, dumb nigga shit.
Okay, he knew the school wasn't gonna get built because he was tweeting, I want to smash your cookies, to the conscious stripper. Now, mind you, that conscious stripper shit happened 3 years ago, right? That happened a while ago. Umar Johnson was in some motherfucking Hidden Colors films 3 years ago, right? So you knew the school wasn't getting built because he was talking about conscious stripper and how he wanted to get at the conscious stripper. Excuse me. But you knew this 3 years ago, but you kept featuring this nigga in your documentaries, right? Now, here's another part. Wait, what the fuck? Okay, so here's another part that I wanted to get to. What was it? 32. Yeah, we're gonna go here.
I knew that fucking school wasn't gonna happen because this nigga, the way he was overselling the bullshit. You got, see, I used to be in the game. I used to be in the street, so I know when a motherfucker's overselling the hustle. I know when somebody's overselling the hustle. You understand? I know when somebody's overselling the fucking hustle. And when this nigga was talking about that school, another thing that made me know he ain't about to build no school, he'd be on some shit. Yeah, at the Frederick Douglass Marcus Garvey School, I'm going to have a garden with watermelon seeds and squash. And he was overselling this damn school. And when I, at my school, I'm going to have computerized military science classes. At my school, I'm going to have a hairdressing room in there. In my school, I'm going to have nuclear warheads. I'm listening to this nigga. I'm like, wait a minute, that sounds like pimp shit.
And he would know. And he would know, right? He would know. Because, like, matter of fact, man, like, there was this thing Tariq Nasheed was doing on Instagram where you would have, like, these Tariqisms and shit. And the Tariqisms would be, like, if, like, your woman not giving you head, that's a woman that you can't trust. A woman with three or more tattoos that's visible on her, she's a hoe. Like, that was some shit that he was putting out while at the same time doing the Hidden Colors shit, right? At the same fucking time. So, you know, like, he's talking about, he knew the school wasn't get built. Meanwhile, he featured Umar Johnson and not one, not two, but three motherfucking Hidden Colors films, all while talking about, yeah, I knew the school wasn't gonna get built. Right? Now I heard motherfuckers talk about, you know, like, Tariq Nasheed, they giving motherfucker Tariq Nasheed a pass, right? Like, yo, Tariq Nasheed, like, he kind of like in the entertainment space, you know what I'm saying? Like, he kind of like an entertainer and all this other shit. Like, yeah, y'all say that now, but Tariq Nasheed is kind of trying to move into a space where he's seen as not only a black historian, but like a black intelligentsia historian with the Hidden Colors series, right? So you can't just like all of a sudden dismiss all of this shit that he had going on while doing Hidden Colors. And at the same time, like, well, you know, he's just an entertainer. Nah, fuck all that shit, man. He's trying to like, and I get at some point in your life, figuring out like, yo, man, some of this shit that I'm involved in, some of this shit that I used to do, some of this shit that I used to think is fucked up. But you have never heard Tariq Nasheed get on a microphone, get on his television, or on any of those videos and say, yeah, some of that shit I used to talk about, like these books I used to sell, man, yeah, all that I was talking about, yeah, that's bullshit. No, because he's still trying to sell you that shit. He's still trying to sell you play or be played. You know what I'm saying? He's still trying to tell you, like, what was another one? The Mac Within. Like, he's still trying to sell you that. He's not going to tell you that those books are now bullshit because he still believes in that shit, right? So that's Tariq telling on Umar Johnson. Now, we're going to go back because now Umar is telling on Tariq. They telling on each other. Like, that's the thing. It kind of reminds me. Like, I don't know if y'all had, like, if you're listening right now and, like, you got siblings and shit. Like, I remember when I was younger, man, like, me and my brother, like, well, my brother more, like, often than not, but, like, I got a lot of ass whoopings when I was young because my brother did shit and I was the oldest. And if I didn't stop him from doing the shit, it was my fault too, right? What happens right now, what this seems like, is when, like, you got two brothers and, like, they got caught doing some shit and one brother starts diming out the other brother for some other shit that their parents don't even know about, right? Like, yo, I'm just saying, mama, like, remember that time you said you had, like, $5 missing off your nightstand? He took it. He bought candy with it. Like, oh, motherfucker, you knew? And you didn't say shit? You thought that was going to get you out this ass whooping, didn't you? Bend your ass over, right? That's what this sound like, because both of these niggas are telling on each other. So now we got Umar Johnson telling on Tariq Nasheed, right? Now, this is interesting because, again, Tariq Nasheed talks about he knew that school wasn't going to get built. Interestingly enough, Umar Johnson now is dishing the dirt on Tariq Nasheed when it comes to the Hidden Colors series. So let me pull this up to where I need it to be. Where is it? About here. Wait, no, about right there. Yeah. And let me share this with the chat room again. Where is my share screen? There we go. Okay. So y'all get to see this too. Check this out, y'all.
Tariq Nasheed. Let me tell you who. Black people don't. Black people don't benefit from Hidden Colors financially. They might benefit culturally and intellectually, but they don't benefit financially. You know who benefits financially from Hidden Colors? White folks, because that's who you give black people's money to make the film. God is my witness. You are a contradiction. You paying white people to make a white supremacy documentary that you sell to black people. You paying white people to make a white supremacy documentary that you sell to black people. You paying white people to make a white supremacy documentary that you pay to black folks. That you sell to black folks. So that fundraiser benefits white supremacy. You fake ass hypocrite.
Okay. 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 So, one, now he's coming at Tariq Nasheed for using white people to help produce the Hidden Colors films. The Hidden Colors films that Umar Johnson himself appeared in 3 of them motherfuckers. Not 1, not 2, but 3 of them motherfuckers. Now, I don't have this part queued up, but there was a part of this particular video where he was talking about the very first time he appeared in Hidden Colors. He didn't know that he was going to be in Hidden Colors, that somebody had to call him while Hidden Colors was in the movie theater being played. And people were like going crazy over every time Umar Johnson came over across the screen. Right. He really didn't say that. Right. But then on top of that, he was talking about how during his first interview with Tariq Nasheed was real curt with him, like, you know, wasn't really brotherly and wasn't real, wasn't real social with him and everything else, like just kind of real, real cut off and real aloof about, you know, his interaction with Umar Johnson. He thought Tariq Nasheed was on some bullshit. Now, mind you, if you thought the man was on some bullshit on the first motherfucking movie and the man didn't tell you that the movie was even coming out and he was going to use you on the first motherfucking movie, why then would you go ahead and do 2 more motherfucking movies with a dude that you thought was on some bullshit on the first movie, right? On the first one. Don't make a whole lot of sense. Don't make a whole lot of sense. But again, like I said, both of these niggas are now telling on each other. So there's another part of this video. Let me see if I can pull this up. I'm going to need this to kind of move out of the way. Okay, yeah, we move that out of the way. And where is it? Wait. And here we go. Let me play this now.
Call me. Listen, I'm giving y'all facts tonight. I'm not lying to nobody. This message is for my supporters. Nobody else but Dr. Umar. Tariq Nasheed didn't even call your brother. He didn't even text your brother. He didn't even send your brother an email, an inbox and say, hey, brother, I decided to use you. I changed the name. Hidden Colors. It's going to be coming out in the movie so-and-so. You live in Philly. It's going to be playing in Philly this day. It's going to be playing in New York this day. You know how I found out I was in Hidden Colors? Do you know how I found out I was in Hidden Colors? Do you know how the man who made Hidden Colors was it is, how he found out?
How you found out?
LaRon called me. If LaRon never called me, I would have never even knew that I was in the damn documentary. That's how disrespectful this Hollywood coon was. You couldn't even let me know.
Okay. Shout out to LaRon, I guess, whoever the fuck LaRon is. I don't know anybody who, like, I guess if you, like, follow these circles and shit, like, you may know who LaRon is. Yeah, LaRon let Umar know that he was in Hidden Colors, because Umar didn't know he was in Hidden Colors, one, but he then proceeded to do 2 more movies with Tariq Nasheed while in Hidden Colors, man. So, yeah, man. interestingly enough, man, like, this beef has gone on for like a couple weeks now, man. These niggas, like, at least Tariq Nasheed is still dropping motherfucking videos talking shit about Umar Johnson or whatever else. And Umar, like, Umar daddy is out here doing motherfucking videos and shit, man. It's crazy. It's motherfucking crazy. It's a Hotep Civil War. Hotep Civil War 2 popping off out here on these social media streets, all over Facebook, all over Twitter, all over YouTube, all over Periscope. Like, it's going down, man, real talk. But yeah, man. Them niggas need help, real talk. But yeah, it is time, man. We've been going on for a little while, man. We've been going on for a little while. And so it is time now for our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And our ass hat of the week, man, this week is none other than Nipsey Hussle, right? So Nipsey Hussle has stepped up to be... he stepped in it, man. It's early in the motherfucking year, man, and he just... can you be known for your music more than your fuckery? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, so here he goes, man. So I'm gonna read this story. This here comes out of Boston. I mean, we know Boston can be a little messy when it comes to the titles to their articles, right? So it says, here's how famished Crenshaw Cretan here's how famished Crenshaw Cretan Nipsey Hussle sparked a homophobic head-ass thought around the internet. They call this nigga a cretin, dog. Okay. Oh, man. So, it says, wait. As a matter of fact, I guess I should screen share this picture, man. Let me see if I can screen share this so you guys can see it, too. Because, yeah, y'all should see this, too. Here we go. All right. It says, where do we begin? Yesterday, a conversation surrounding young black boys and image was sparked ubiquitously across the internet, initially over an offensive H&M advert we're sure many have seen by now online. Unbeknownst, however, as the feedback went around, one Hotepi gang rapper in the deep jungles of Crenshaw was just getting his keyboard warm. Enter Nipsey Hussle. Nipsey, an adult crip, two baby mamas into this thing we call life, decided to give us his perspective on the imagery they don't want us to see of black boys. Nipsey thinks that wearing bow ties in the absence of visual gayness will fix everything. And here's the picture of a lot of young black boys, man. I don't know where this picture was taken. I guess I can read this caption. It says, demonstration speaks... Wait, this is Nipsey's caption, but... Since demonstration speaks louder than conversation, they gonna feed us every image of our men and boys, but this one, no hyperviolet, no homosexual, no abandoners, just strong black men and young men. Respect to my big homie at Big U1 for leading with love and intelligence. God is with us. Who can go against us, right? And so, like, it's a picture of a lot of young black males dressed in, like, they're in black tie attire, man, like, looking really good, right? Here's the thing. He says that there's no homosexuals in this group. And from this picture, you really can't fucking, you wouldn't know it. Like, who's ever been able to, like, point out the gay dude in the suit if there's a whole bunch of dudes in suits? Like, gayness is, like, I'm not a homosexual, but, like, I don't think that's something that you just kind of wear. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wear this suit, therefore I'm no longer gay. Like, that's not a thing. That's not how that works. As the lady would say,
that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
So we get into this whole thing of imagery and you know, sexuality and perspective and like all sorts of different things, man. But one of the things I really want to kind of get across is this, because I hear this a lot, man. I hear this so much around, like when I'm even amongst the fellas, man, when I'm just talking shit amongst the fellas, like you hear this a lot, man. Like there's a whole lot of dudes who think they're like, yo, man, I ain't against homosexuals, man. I don't care nothing about that, man. Like they could love who they want to love and everything, man. You know, ain't none of my business or whatnot. But this gay agenda though, right? They talk about the gay agenda. Like there's an agenda for gaydom. Like, you know, they're going to make our kids gay. Like your kids ain't being made gay. Some of your kids are already gay. Like nobody's making your kids gay. Right? But the thing is that like you'll hear people talk about this. Like, yo, like they making our, like they keep pushing this in front of us and everything else, man. Like I can't go nowhere, man, without seeing gay people, man. Like they all over my TV and I got to hear it in the music and everything else. Like, you know what, man? Like, have you ever seen like a straight couple in, I don't know, like say for instance, a straight couple in the park. You ever seen a straight couple in the park? Like sharing a kiss and thought to yourself, that's the goddamn straight agenda rearing his ugly head again? Ever? Has that ever been a motherfucking thought that came across your head? Came across your mind? You're like, man, these motherfucking gays, man. I mean, these motherfucking straight people need to, I don't know, man. I don't like it. Gay people just want to exist the same way in which you do. Right? So like, who's that? Issa Rae has a show that's coming out and it's supposed to be centering a bisexual black man as part of as the protagonist of the show. And people are having issues with the fact that, yo, he may be having a love interest of a male or another black male, as if black males in America don't exist. People don't want to see it. Like, I don't know, man. It's that agenda, man. I don't want to see that, man. It's the agenda rearing this ugly motherfucking head again. Yo, like, yo. It, there isn't such thing as gay black men. They exist. You may know some. Some of them may even be family members. And so Nipsey Hussle thinks that by promoting a picture of young black boys in black tie affair, in black tie, you know, black tie attire, he thinks that that somehow negates the fact that maybe one, maybe two, hell, maybe all of them, he thinks that may negate the fact that they may or may not be gay. Like, ain't no gay people in this picture. Because they're all wearing black tie. They're all in tuxedos or whatever else. How fucking stupid is that? How fucking dumb do you... I'm trying to get away from saying stupid and dumb. But goddamn, bro. Like, really? Really? That's where you go with that? That's where you go with that. Like, it's like the, interestingly enough, with someone like Nipsey Hussle, who, as the articles say, like, he's got two baby mamas, and, you know, he comes across as a gangster rapper. Maybe he's a Crip. I don't know what his motherfucking gang affiliation may be. He may not even be affiliated with a gang. I don't even know. And I'm not gonna even put that upon him, right? But he comes across as a dude who doesn't necessarily ascribe to the principles of respectability politics, right? You can see that in the way he talks. You can see that in the way he dresses. You can see that in the way he performs his music. You can see that in the way he, his public persona. He doesn't come across as the epitome of respectability politics, right? You don't get that from Nipsey Hussle. But then he goes on this, and you're like, wait a minute. So you ascribe to this shit for other people, but you don't ascribe to that shit for yourself. And who is this mysterious they? Like, who is they who are perpetuating this notion that black people need to be gay and, like, they're coming after our kids? And I'm like, come on, man. Like, we got to do better, man. Like, It is one of those things, man, where like brothers are kind of like letting us down in more ways than one. Like I saw, like it, not even just this, but just recently, right? So, there was this rumor that kind of went around about the movie Black Panther, right? Like, not just kind of getting off of Nipsey Hussle. And I know this is Ass Out of the Week and this part is dedicated to him and everything, but fuck that. Like, there was a rumor going around about Black Panther and that black women were going to boycott the movie Black Panther because Michael B. Jordan was dating a Latina, a Latina woman, right? And that they, you know, like, black women were like up in arms about it. And they were like, you know what? We're not going to support this movie. We're not going to see this movie. Fuck that. We're tired of this shit. We're tired of black men turning their backs on us, right? Except for the fact that it wasn't fucking true. Like, I remember I saw this shit kind of coming down my timeline on Twitter. And I was seeing, like, people talking about, yo, man, like, it don't take a lot, man. These black women always kind of flipping up on us, man. Just a couple weeks ago, they were sitting up here big up an old girl for marrying a motherfucking Prince Harry over motherfucking Egypt. I mean, over in England and shit. But now all it takes is for Michael B. Jordan is to get him a little Latino chick and they losing their motherfucking minds, man. And I seen that going up and down my motherfucking timeline on Twitter. So now I'm like, I'm curious. And I want to know where this shit is coming from. So I'm searching. I'm like, yo, what are these niggas talking about? Where's this boycott that all these sisters are talking about? And I couldn't find not one instance of a sister like, yo, I'm not going to see that movie because Michael B. Jordan is dating a Latina chick or a Latina woman. I'm not going to see that movie because of that. I couldn't find not one motherfucking instance of that. And it became clear to me right then, like, yo, this is some bullshit. And I kept, and it, what made matters even worse was like, yo, you had news organizations picking this shit up. Like, News One was talking about it. The Root was talking about it. Like, legitimate news organizations talking about black women supposedly not going to see this movie because Michael B. Jordan was dating a Latino woman. Craziness. So, yeah, you know what? Not only does Nipsey Hussle get ass hat of the week, not just him, but every last one of you ashy ass niggas who believed that story about the boycott of sisters of Black Panther because Michael B. Jordan is dating someone outside of the race. Both of y'all get ass hat of the week this week here at the Spare and Poor Podcast, man. Real talk. But of course, we don't leave here on bad notes when it comes to the ass out of the week. So we got our champ of the week this week here as well.
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
So the champ this week here at the Spare Report Podcast is none other than Tennessee State University alum. And I got to get that in, man. She TSU's finest, bro. And I went to Tennessee State. So we got to kind of represent a little bit. But Tennessee State University alum, Oprah Winfrey, man. She is the champ this week here on the Spare Report. And she is the champ this week because she won the Cecil DeMille Award at the 2018 Golden Globe Awards a couple nights ago. And she gave a speech, and it's a 9 minute and it's 9 minutes and 40 seconds. So I don't know, like, I can't play the entire speech. Okay, and the shit just starts on its own. But yeah, like, she had a nine minute 40 second speech, and I'm not going to play the entire speech. But I am going to speak to what I got from it, right? And I'm going to have that speech available at spareandpoor.com. You guys can check that speech out if you haven't already, right? Because I'm sure it's been shared everywhere. Folks are talking about Oprah running for president for 2020, the whole nine, right? It was a great speech. But one of the things about the speech was the fact that Oprah spoke to the inspiration that she got from seeing Sidney Poitier received that very same award from the Golden Globes that she was receiving that night and how it inspired her as a child to what was possible for her. Because at that time, that was Sidney Poitier was the first black person, I believe, to have ever won that award. And it inspired her going forward. And she thought about, excuse me, and she thought about all of the young ladies, all of the young girls, especially the young black girls, who may have been watching that particular speech, who may have been watching that particular award show, and thought that they too could possibly do what exactly, you know, they can achieve what it was that she achieved that night. And not only that, you know, we were coming to come, we're in a time where the Me Too movement is in full swing. And, you know, a lot has been talked about when it comes to sexual harassment, sexual assault, all of the things that the women in that industry have had to deal with quietly over the years, coming to a head, coming to the forefront, and letting folks know, man, like, there's been a reckoning here in America. Like we're seeing it not only just in the entertainment industry, but in the world of politics, in the world of business. We're seeing a reckoning of, oh, they getting motherfuckers about it to paint if you out here acting reckless, especially when it comes to sexual assault, sexual harassment. And it's not a game. And I think it's been high time for a lot of this stuff to kind of come out. It's been high time for a lot of this stuff to come to a head. Like, it's been bubbling up under the surface for a long time. And we even go back to Anita Hill, when Anita Hill was testifying to the Senate Judiciary Committee, I believe it was, back when Clarence Thomas was trying to get confirmed for his nomination at this Supreme Court. It even goes back all the way to then, when Anita Hill was making it a common conversation for people to talking about sexual harassment and how prevalent it is. And especially with the Me Too movement, how prevalent it is. And we're starting to see so many people come out in the woodworks, like so many people that we household names, like Russell Simmons, Harvey Weinstein, Woody Allen, like everybody knew about Woody Allen, but like so many different people, Kevin Spacey, Bill Cosby, like we've seen these stories over and over and over the years, man. And it's coming to a head where, like, yo, your time is up and we're not going to be dealing with this kind of shit anymore. Right. And so Oprah made this speech, and Oprah, you know, inspired a lot of people. The speech was inspiring to the point where people were actively thinking about voting for Oprah for president in 2020. Now, I don't know how serious people are, you know, people are being about this. You know, we're living in an age of celebrity to the point where Donald Trump, with no fucking experience whatsoever, is sitting in the White House occupying a space that he probably should not be in right now. So it's opened up the door to where people who might not necessarily have that particular acumen or that particular expertise are being touted as, yo, legitimate candidates for president of the United States. And that's not to say that Oprah cannot be president of the United States. It's just surprising that, yo, like after that speech, that like people are talking about Oprah as president of the United States. But getting away from all of that, Oprah inspired a lot of people. Oprah was very forceful in her speaking. Oprah was, shit, she was Oprah, man. She was fucking, like, we've known Oprah to be awesome for a long time, man. And so for her ability to inspire millions of young girls, black girls in particular, to start off 2018, Tennessee State University alumni Oprah Winfrey is the Span Report Podcast Champ of the Week this week. And that's how we're going to close out the show tonight, man. Real talk. But yeah, man, it's 9:46. I've been talking for a little while now. And I don't know if y'all can hear it, but my voice is getting tired. But I got to get out of here. But of course, before I go, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I will play those messages here on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails and we'll respond to those emails here live on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. You can also do me a big solid. Those 5-star reviews on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio are very much appreciated, man. So for those of you who go ahead, go about the business of doing that, I really do appreciate those of you who will. Also, you can go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. The podcast. You can watch a replay of this podcast later on if you want to, like, kind of put it up on the big screen and shit, you know, because, you know, I'm just saying, like, look, you can put me up on a plasma. I'm just saying, or the LED, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead and put it up on the big screen. You can watch the show live, or you can watch it later. You can watch the show as well, man. Subscribe to the show on Crowdcast so you can get those email alerts when we go live here on the show as well. And, yeah, that is it. But welcome to 2018, everybody. It's going to be a nice ride, man. I really do look forward to everything that's going to pop off in 2018, man, and I gotta get out of here. But thank you again to everybody who listened to episode 190 and reached out to your boy and let me know that you enjoy what we do here at the Span Report Podcast, that you're looking forward to what's going on here at the Span Report Podcast, and that you want more from the Span Report Podcast. I can't express enough how much that means. But yeah, I gotta get out of here, y'all. But until next time, fam, peace.